evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, December 4th, 2015. The UN Refugee Agency says thousands of South Sudanese are fleeing Western Equatorial State.
We have Central African refugees because of the crisis there, and now we have an influx from South Sudanese, which is a link to a global problem of the humanitarian system.
And gunmen kills four people in the contested Abyei town.
In the first incident, one person was killed, three people were wounded. One of them, actually in a critical condition, is being stabilized gradually in our level 2 hospital here. In their second attack, two people were killed and three wounded.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Four civilians were killed and three others injured during an attack on a cattle camp in Abyei town on Thursday. The United Nations Interim Security Force for Abyei, UNISFA, says unknown gunmen attacked the area to steal cattle from pastoralists who are camping within Abyei town. UNISFA spokesman Daniel Adekere says UN troops deployed in the town pushed the attackers out of Abyei town during a fierce gun battle. He says the gunmen also attacked Miekol Alei villages on the eastern part of Abyei town. Last month, unknown gunmen also attacked Abyei with mortar shells. Adekere says UNISFA forces are ready to fight any group creating insecurity in the contested Abyei region.
This one, for all indications, was an attempt to rustle cattle because they went to the cattle camp. They actually took some cattle and it took the intervention of our troops who are actually deployed in that area to retrieve this cattle. So the dynamics look slightly different.
Under which chapter is UNISFA?
Well, UNISFA is under Chapter 7. No doubt about that. And we made it very clear that we're operating under Chapter 7.
Chapter 7 allows the UN peacekeepers to confront whoever confronts them or to rather return fire and fight in defense, right?
Yes, and that's what we did. As a matter of fact, it was our quick intervention that these people did not succeed in the attempt. Yes, we're operating Chapter 7. Yes, we have returned fire. In some instances, we have even killed.
Were there any casualties in this latest attempt to steal cattle from this cattle camp that you're telling me is in the center of the town?
In the first incident, one person was killed, three people were wounded. One of them, actually in a critical condition, is being stabilized gradually in our level 2 hospital here. In their second attack, two people were killed and three wounded who were rushed to the hospital in Agog.
You mean MSF?
Medicine on Frontier, yes, in Agog. We understand one of them later died. So altogether, we have four people killed in this attack.
Who is in charge of Abyei? Is there some sort of a government in Abyei? Is there some sort of an administration that runs the town?
That's a difficult question to answer because in the agreement they signed in June 2011, there was a provision for a joint administration and also at the Abyei police, which was supposed to be jointly established. These structures are not on the ground, and it creates a gap, if you want. And, of course, it stretches us to the point that sometimes we have to pick up responsibilities that should have been undertaken by Abyei area police, for example. When you talk of law and order, our police advisors have taken up that role.
The government of South Sudan and the Sudan government are both claiming the ownership of Abyei. When incidents like this happen, who do you report them to? I mean, for further investigation, for apprehension of the culprits, who do you report these incidents to?
Well, that's a big question now. The fact that Abyei is a contested area leaves us in a vacuum as for keeping law and order. As a matter of fact, like issues of law and order, if there are things that involve the Dinkas, for example, we hand them over to the paramount chief. At least that is not contested. There are no structures per se to handle this in terms of the law courts, in terms of the police. So from interactions, the paramount chief and the local chief eventually transfer some of these cases to AGOG or to Warap State if the level of criminality is aggravated.
That's Daniel Adekere, a spokesman for the United Nations Interim Security Force for Abyei. He was speaking to me from Abyei town earlier today. Thousands of South Sudanese from Western Equatorial State are escaping fighting between the Arrow Boys and South Sudan Army. As INBO reports, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees says 90% of the refugees are women and children, many of whom walked for 10 days carrying most of their belongings.
UNHCR has registered almost 3,500 South Sudanese near the Dungu territory of the Democratic Republic of Congo, or the DRC, all in the last couple of days. They have also counted 1,200 Congolese refugees who left Western Equatoria because of the uptick in violence there. Andres Kirchhoff, a UNHCR spokesperson in Kinshasa, says the Izo settlement in South Sudan, which was largely inhabited by Congolese refugees, is now nearly empty. He says this is adding more strain on the DRC, which is trying to accommodate more than 100,000 refugees.
We have from all sides refugee movements. We have Burundians in one part of the country. We have Central African refugees because of the crisis there. And now we have an influx from South Sudanese, which is a link to a global problem of the humanitarian system.
Kirchhoff says Congolese authorities and the local population are doing what they can to help refugees fleeing South Sudan. He says although many Congolese have very little, they have taken in refugees into their own huts. But Kirchhoff says many more refugees, most of them women and children, continue to look for help.
But there were a number of people who didn't even manage to find a family hosting them, and they were sleeping in the open. So as a first step, we distributed some plastic sheeting to the most vulnerable families. And then there are people who are sick, and the next health post is several day marches away.
Kirchhoff says the Dungu territory, the area in eastern DRC where most are fleeing to, is very difficult to access. He says the refugees head there because it is the closest, safest area to go. But Kirchhoff says there are very few passable roads, and in most cases, it takes refugees at least 3 days to reach the Dungu territory. The nearest hospital is 80 kilometers, or about 50 miles away, which makes it difficult to assist those who are in need of medical attention. To make matters worse, Kirchhoff says in the past few days, humanitarian workers have also been victimized by the violence in Western Equatoria.
In the process, some people also hijacked trucks of the UN Refugee Agency, and they looted our warehouse. All the humanitarian staff had to be evacuated, and the fighting was going on then for several days, at least until early December.
Kirchhoff says UNHCR is trying to provide shelter, food and medical care for the refugees, but the shortage of supplies is huge. He says the refugees are telling UNHCR staff that they will not return to South Sudan if peace cannot be maintained. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
Tomorrow is International Volunteer Day. A top UN official is calling on the people of South Sudan to volunteer and provide services to communities who need them. The executive coordinator of the United Nations Volunteers Program says volunteers play a key role in development around the world. Mungume Devs Rakarinj has this report for VOA from the capital, Juba.
The United Nations Volunteers, or UNV program, is the UN organization that contributes to peace and development through global volunteer services. Based in Bonn, Germany, UNV is active in around 130 countries every year. The agency works with field units in 86 countries worldwide through the offices of the United Nations Development Programme, or UNDP. UN Volunteers Executive Coordinator Richard Dictus is challenging everyone to be part of implementing the newly launched Global Development Goals. The 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development is a plan of action for ending poverty in all its dimensions, irreversibly, everywhere. Speaking in Juba today, Dikta says volunteering brings about social inclusion to people often marginalized in society.
As we seek ways for the new agenda to take root, volunteerism can be a powerful and cross-cutting means of implementation. Volunteers contribute to leaving no one behind by reaching out to those who are marginalized, building ownership for development, and helping to localize sustainable development goals.
Dikta says volunteering also provides a chance for professionals to give back to society. The theme for this year's International Volunteer Day is, in two quotes, "Your world is changing. Are you volunteer?" End quotes. More than 500 UN volunteers are working in South Sudan as engineers, doctors, midwives, human rights advocates, and government advisors. Only 20 of them are South Sudanese. Dikta says volunteering begins in communities on all different levels.
We need tens of thousands of national volunteers who are going to be engaging with everybody, who are going to be engaging with the education of young children, who are going to be engaging with healthcare, who are going to be engaging on environment and agriculture and skills formation. Because only then do we know that we're going to be leaving no one behind.
Albino Ball, chairman of South Sudan's National Youth Union, says the country's youth should stand united, ready to volunteer.
It is quite unfortunate that the youth of South Sudan are being divided by selfish politicians who don't want the stability of South Sudan. It is our sole responsibility to go down to all levels of society to sensitize the public, and in a special way, the youth of South Sudan, to work in a state for stability and nation building.
According to South Sudan's National Bureau of Statistics, at least 70% of South Sudan's population is comprised of people under the age of 35. International Volunteers Day offers a chance for volunteers and organizations to celebrate their efforts, share their values, and promote their work among communities and in government. Rose Omega is a UN volunteer midwife. Omega says she has supervised more than 100 births during her 20 months of service.
At the facilities where I work, I'm the midwife. I conduct deliveries directly. I mentor the midwives, community midwives. I'm a doctor because every morning I go in these facilities, I do all the rounds, I assess mothers, I refer those who are to be referred in the hospital.
Celebrate this year's International Volunteer Day. Volunteers in Juba will visit an orphanage and plant trees in the capital. For VOA News, I am Mugume Devs Rwakarinj in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a closer look at issues affecting people with disability. Stay tuned.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you celebrate your birthday?
I'm one who have not celebrated my birthday since I was born, just because I did not know. I was not properly told when I was born, and I'm up to now, I still guess my age.
By grabbing a bottle of soda and sit on my table, enjoy and let people know that today is my day.
I celebrate my birthday alone. Nothing I take. I don't do anything.
My birthday, I celebrate it so cool because, you know, even today is my birthday. So it's too cool because I'm leaving the school. I'm going to home. I'm going to celebrate with my family and some of my friends.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Yesterday was International Day of Persons with Disabilities. Central Equatoria state officials launched a campaign to register people with disabilities so they can receive help. As VOA fellow Tito Justin reports, the Morobo County Union for People with Disabilities have so far registered more than 4,000 disabled residents who need help.
State Minister for Gender and Social Development Maka Mustafa says the theme for yesterday's celebration was inclusion matters, meaning people with disabilities have the right to access the same services as other people do. The celebration drew government officials from the state's 6 counties, disability unions, and non-profit organizations operating in central Equatoria. Mustafa says the state has no clear number of people living with disabilities because many of them feel afraid in society to come out, making it difficult for them to receive help.
They are being neglected, they are being laughed at, those who are blind, they are hiding. We are sensitizing them to come out. Then each county now takes the statistics, you know, until when we finish.
Handicap International is a non-profit organization which supports disabled people in South Sudan. Speaking from Yei, the organization's rehabilitation officer Chandiga John says they are helping about 2,000 disabled people in Yei and Morobo counties. But John says they are struggling to help all of the disabled in need because they don't have enough money. He also says poor roads hamper their efforts. He says they give out a few non-refundable loans. They also distribute eyeglasses to the disabled. John says part of their mission is also to raise awareness, which they do in conjunction with local disabled unions and public institutions like
the Minister of Health at the county level, the Minister of Social Welfare at the county level, the Minister of Education. We carry out awareness. We do accessibility where in the public places, like if the hospital, the government offices are not accessible, the person with disability, then we go there and then we assess and then we construct the ramps so that the buildings can be accessible to persons with disability.
One of the Morobo County Disabled Union leaders, Girigachal, says they want to send representatives from the county to the national government level.
We need representation. We need people to be represented in the parliament, in the all levels of legislators. We have a county legislative council. We have the state legislative assembly, that's the parliament, and we have national parliament. So in the next parliament, we need these people to go and campaign for their leader to go to the parliament and talk their issues in the parliament.
A person may be considered disabled if he or she has a condition that affects their ability to function without assistance at a level needed to maintain well-being. Disability is a term often used to refer to a physical, sensory, or mental health disorder. For VOA News, I am Tiro Justin in Washington.
Health officials from Western Bahr el-Ghazal have come up with guidelines on how to reduce childbirth mortality, which is high in South Sudan. Officials say they plan to train more health workers and extend maternity services in communities to reduce the number of women who die while giving birth. Dimo Silva has the story for VOA from WOW.
Health experts say South Sudanese doctors, midwives, and other health care personnel should follow certain standard guidelines in both rural and urban facilities during childbirth. Dr. Alexander Dimiti, Director General for Reproductive Health in South Sudan's Ministry of Health, says yesterday's meeting in WOW, which was attended by health care workers and midwives from Western Bahr el-Ghazal, Warab, and Lakes Estates, was aimed at setting those standards.
This strategy makes it a priority that the women, particularly women in reproductive age in South Sudan, are put as number one, are placed number one in terms of care that they should access health care, including the newborn children. Now, some of the strategies that we have been following is, for example, how to increase awareness about birth spacing, so to avoid the repeated pregnancies which contribute to the death of our mothers as they give birth.
Dr. Dimiti says the standards set in place will explain how to treat a pregnant mother during pregnancy as well as 6 weeks after delivery. He says the South Sudan guidelines will adhere to international standards but will be more customized and easier to administer, given that in many cases in South Sudan, a doctor may not be on hand during delivery. Dr. Solomon Orero is a reproductive health consultant at the National Ministry of Health. Dr. Orero says too many South Sudanese women die during childbirth due to delays in accessing health care services and because health care workers are not properly trained to handle pregnancy complications.
Now, delaying to access health services usually is because women may not recognize the danger signs that were mentioned, so that they don't make an early decision to seek care. However, once they make a decision to seek care, the process of reaching a facility that is competent and that can address the dangers that she has in her pregnancy during delivery and after may take quite long.
Dr. Orero says increasing South Sudan's outreach to rural health care providers is key to reducing the country's high maternal mortality rate. According to the UN Population Fund, for every 10,000 live births in South Sudan, 2,000 women die during delivery or shortly afterward. Dominic Chandut, the Health Ministry Director General of AWIL, says having a grid standard is wise, but he says there should also be more outreach in training courses for health workers.
The guidance will be provided, but the technicality on how to go about need on-job training or what they so-called refresher courses. At the bigger hospital, we need to administer what they so-called continuum medical education. Continuum medical education is whereby doctors and nurses, midwives who are around the hospital must schedule a time, maybe once a week, to refresh themselves and then give themselves a training that will actually boost the nurses and remind them on the procedures and the correct treatment that can be given any mother that needs an assistant.
Since so many pregnant women cannot access health care facilities and deliver their babies with the help of untrained health workers in a traditional setting, the number of South Sudanese women who die during childbirth is much higher than the average worldwide. For those that do visit the health care facilities, many pregnant women fail to attend regular checkups. Dr. Barnaba Ball, the Rumbek Medical Director, says records in his hospital show that few pregnant women complete their last visit to the hospital for maternal checkups.
For the first visit, this is very high. Subsequent visits, they get lower and lower. The reasons are that some come from very far places, and they delay. If they delay, then they deliver there and they never come back to us. Sometimes they just come after delivery for vaccination of the children. So there are reasons why they don't come. Maybe due to long distances or due to negligence. They don't see that is important. So this our experience.
He says women who die during childbirth or shortly thereafter often do so because of poor roads condition when they try to reach health facility. Dr. Ball says many of those lives could probably have been saved under the supervision of trained doctors and nurses. Yesterday's meeting was sponsored by the UN Population Fund, the World Health Organization, and other aid organizations. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Wau.
Community leaders in Jur River County of Western Bahr el-Ghazal State are asking a timber company that plans to cut trees in the area to build a community resource center and other infrastructure first. Here is again Dimo Silva Aurelio reporting for VOA from Wau.
Rhino Limited, an Indian timber company, says it has obtained a license from the National Agriculture and Forestry Ministry in Juba to fell teak trees in the 3,000 square meter Nyinakok Forest Reserve. But local leaders and residents say the company must first provide social services in the area. They want Rhino Limited to build a community social center before it is allowed to start cutting down any trees for timber. Company officials say they will provide 2% of the revenues from timber harvested in the area to the community. But local leaders and residents say they don't want money. Local leader Goch Deng says the community has lost similar forest reserves to lumbering companies in the past without receiving anything in return.
The government is the citizens, and the citizens are the government. Why are we as citizens maintaining this forest? And the company is allowed to cut down trees without bringing any development to the area.
Though local leaders and residents here insist they want the company to provide social services and build infrastructure including a school, a road and a hospital, there is no legal provision to back such demands. South Sudan's transitional constitution classifies land as private, public and communally owned. It states that, regardless of the classification of the land in question, rights over all subterranean and other natural resources throughout South Sudan, including petroleum and gas resources and solid minerals, shall belong to the national government and shall be regulated by law. Company officials say they are unable to meet the community's demand to construct a school, hospital or road, but they say they will build a resource center for the community. Gir Wall, a lawmaker representing the Nyinakok area in the Western Baal Ghazali State Legislative Assembly, says the community stopped the company's lumbering activity and will not allow it to continue until it constructs a resource center. The community, in a joint meeting with the company and state authorities, disagreed and said the lumbering should not start.
When we were demanding a school and the company rejected, the company didn't, company saying they were not able to build a school. They demand the hospital, also company said they are not able to make hospital. They demand the clearing of the road from Yonako to Wall. Company also rejected that request. At the end, they say we have an old building in Yonako here that is dormitory. So the guest house. This guest house should be maintained by the company.
Wall says his community also wants the company to replant trees in the forest reserve in order to preserve the environment. Jur River County Commissioner Simon Atwai says the timber company should build a community center first if it wants to do business in the area.
The citizens have reservations that they will not take money, but want a building of two stories after the company failed to agree on the other demands.
Company officials insist they should be allowed to start felling trees while they make arrangements to build a resource center. Peter Mawen, Rhino Limited's managing director, says they will still need to look at their budget to determine whether or not they have funds to construct the center.
They gave me a condition to construct the house and we accepted, but they could not allow us to start cutting. That means they have something different.
The teak plantation at Nyinakok was established by the British colonialists in the 20th century. Locals say the colonialists first built health centers and schools in the area before they planted the trees. For VOA, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Wau.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Yala Kitautu by Victoria Ole.
Yala Kitautu, Yala Kitautu, Kelini Najere, Yala Ni Najere. Kelini Najere, Yala Ni Najere,
been listening to Victoria Ole with that song Yala Kitautu. I am John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes and vehicles. You have a peaceful weekend and remember to join us again for another edition of South Sudan in Focus next week.